Oh, nice. A second here, a little, okay. Missed that. Excuse me a second, spilled my water. At least it wasn't full. All right. Okay, I call this meeting of the Blaine City Council to order. It's Monday, April 22nd, a minute or so after 6. And maybe start with a moment of silence, please. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Charlie Hawkins, here. Jay Barrett.
Here.
Alicia Rule.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Here.
And Eric Davidson.
Here.
Okay, we do have a couple people signed up to speak before council. First one is Alec Berkman, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Please state your name and address for the record, Mr. Berkman.
Good evening, I'm Alec Berkman. I live at 8971 Bald Eagle Drive in Blaine. I'd like to speak just for a moment about the preservation of the Semiahmoo Parkway, and I'd like to follow up on Mr. Beauregard's suggestion of the last city council meeting that the council direct staff to review the process whereby certain properties were removed from the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan. What bothers us live in that part of the city is that we don't have any evidentiary documentation about why things happened. And I believe at the end of the last council meeting, the staff was directed to go back and look at those issues. We certainly would like to have an explanation of how certain properties were designated, particularly city properties were designated for removal from the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan. Thank you.
Thank you. And next is Dennis Olson.
Dennis Olson, 860 Georgia Street. I just would have liked an update, if you have one, on the medical facility chase down. Any information? Okay.
Mr. City Manager, would you like to mention anything now or wait to your report?
I can mention something briefly now if you'd like.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
We've been in conversations. We've had numerous discussions with a number of healthcare providers, everyone from the existing doctors at Bay Medical to various corporations. Most of those have not panned out to anything substantial at this point. We have had some very good, positive conversations with the Family Care Network about potentially acquiring property in the city and opening a facility in the city. But to date, we don't have a letter of intent, a contract, or a development application for property not owned by the city. Mr. Hawkins?
I think I heard that they were talking with a doctor from, I think, Eastern. I think he might have been from Eastern Canada. About taking
over the project.
I said, I've heard that, I'm not, was told anyway, but not by Dr. Allen, but anyway, that they were in conversations with some doctor. I think he was from Eastern Canada or something like that, and in the process of working, trying to get him down here. So.
That would be great if Dr. Kazmaier and Allen could find someone to purchase their facility. That's been a big challenge. That's news to me. That's the first time I've heard potential buyer recently. Yeah. They've looked at, and we've had conversations with Primera, the Everett Clinic, and a variety of larger healthcare groups that have been trying to bring care providers into the community to satisfy their insurance network requirements. In other words, there's a need for insurers to have service within a certain distance, and it's part of their licensure. This is like way outside of my area of expertise, but that's been a big focus for some of these larger organizations. Family Care is primarily looking at expanding their own facilities and expanding their business model for their own needs directly to have more patients and more access to patients, and that's been really promising. We've been given the indication that we will likely see a letter of intent to potentially purchase some of our property, but nothing more than just real positive conversations. That's about all I can report. Most of it's not really very reportable. There's not a lot of substance there yet.
But we have had some encouraging discussions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very encouraging.
Still very hopeful that something's going to come about.
Yeah, the months are running out.
Mm-hmm. I know. Okay, next we have a Blaine Builder Award to present to Mr. Gary Dunster. And after that, we have a proclamation about the blessing of the fleet, which Gary is very much a big part of. So, Gary, if you will come up. This one's pretty good. This is always a photo op, you know that. Okay, here we go. I'll tell you all what Gary's been doing through the years, for many years in Blaine. Gary Dunster and his wife Judy, who's there in the back row, there she is, have lived in Blaine since 1972. During this time, Gary has served the community of Blaine for over 10 years as a volunteer for the Blaine Fire Department and has also served for 26 years as a high school girls softball and soccer coach, retiring just 2 years ago. Gary has a long career as a commercial fisherman in Blaine for over 40 years. He became a member of the Blaine Fisherman's Memorial Committee in 1989 and has served the last 7 years as chair of the committee. As chair, Gary has been involved in many projects that honor and preserve Blaine's fishing and maritime heritage. Gary oversees many details of the annual Blessing of the Fleet ceremony, which the Fisherman's Memorial Committee hosts, along with support from the Blaine Chamber of Commerce and the Port of Bellingham. This meaningful ceremony is dedicated to the memory of those lost at sea as far back as the early 1900s. It also serves as an opportunity for the community to bless this year's fishing fleet for a safe and prosperous fishing season. This event is not only important to fishers and their families, but also for the Blaine community to honor and preserve Blaine's fishing and maritime heritage. The 35th annual Blessing of the Fleet ceremony will take place on Sunday, May 5th at 1:30 at the Blaine Boating Center. Gary is also currently working with the Memorial Committee to replicate the original fisherman's tabletop from the former Harbor Cafe, where local fishermen were known to congregate on a daily basis for many years. The tabletop represents 157 local fishing vessels and their owners and serves as a valuable piece of our local maritime history. Once the replica is completed, it will be on display at the Seafarers Memorial at the harbor, replacing the original tabletop, which is no longer legible. It's really faded out, hasn't it? Prints will also be made of the replica and will be available for sale to help fund the cost of creating the replica. Thank you, Gary, for your efforts on the Fisherman's Memorial Committee to honor and preserve Blaine's fishing and maritime heritage. Your efforts are building a better Blaine both now and for the future. And I have your award right here. And it says, presented to Gary Dunster, for your efforts as the chair of the Fisherman's Memorial Committee to honor and preserve Blaine's fishing and maritime heritage. Your efforts are building a better Blaine, both now and for the future. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can I
go ahead?
And now, no, you can't go yet, because I'm going to read a proclamation of Blessing of the Fleet Day. Okay, so this has a bunch of whereases, like they all do. Whereas the Seafarers Memorial Blaine Harbor was established in 1984 to promote community awareness and memory of fishers and other sailors who departed Whatcom County's safe harbors and were lost at sea. And whereas the community of Blaine, Washington continues in its concern of the safety and welfare of its seagoing ships and their crews. And whereas the fisher's life is burdened with hazards and difficulties unknown to most of us. And whereas strength and courage are basic requirements for anyone who chooses to work on the high seas, battling the elements in order to harvest nature's bounty. And whereas the men and women who work on boats, living between God and sea, and never certain which will claim them first, are deserving of our respect and our gratitude. And whereas when fishers do lose their lives, their deaths impact the tightly knit fabric of this and all communities. And whereas the citizens who constitute the Blaine Community Chamber of Commerce Committee dedicated to preservation, enhancement, and promotion of the Seafarers Memorial and have planned a service for the blessing of the fleet at the Blaine Harbor, now therefore be it resolved that the community of Blaine and I, Bonnie Onion, Mayor of the City of Blaine, Washington, extend our heartfelt thoughts and prayers to the families and friends of the men and women claimed by the sea, and wish the entire commercial fishing fleet a safe and prosperous season, and pray that all fishing men and women will return safely home to their loved ones. And I do hereby proclaim May 5th, 2019 as Blessing of the Fleet Day. And that's great. You want to say a few words about blessing, right?
I don't want to, but I think I can.
Here, I'll have a little bit of coffee for you, Gary. Why don't you give me this one, because I'm going to be reading it at the blessing, right?
Okay.
Here's
your copy. Okay. As it started out here about a week ago, when I called to the city about doing the resolution, which they do every year, I was informed by Debbie Harger that something else was going on, and that was the award that I just got. And so the idea of trying to fly under the radar went out the window here pretty quick. That's kind of my thing, is to stay low and keep your head down and go and get it done. And so now it's up in front of everybody about what I've been doing for the last 40 years or so. And it's been an honor to serve the city as a volunteer firefighter. Did that for 12 years. Back a ways, quite a ways actually. And then 26 years as a coach in the high school. That was truly an honor. And I was always as an assistant, because I'm this guy that likes to fly under the radar, right? So you're not. But it truly is an honor to get this award. And speaking of the blessing of the fleet and of the latest project that we're in, and that is doing a replica of the Fisherman's Table. Fisherman's Table, if you were around in the 80s, in 1984, was when Jim Williamson put that together. He did all the artwork, put the whole thing together, and they had it printed, I think, up in Canada at that time. But what happened was, they laid it down on top of wood. And so all the printing was on top of wood and all the artwork was on top of wood. And what happened is that the print itself drew whatever components were in that wood, and it turned it kind of yellow. And in fact, and then the sun too does that. And if you were ever in the Harbor Cafe, As soon as you walked in the door, you took a hard right. There was a room in there, and that's where the fisherman's table was. And the sun beat in there constantly all the time, too. So that was another problem. So for the last couple of years, we've been trying to figure out a way to get this thing done. And finally, I was able to, I talked to Jim Williamson a number of times, and he finally found the original artwork that he still had in plastic and kept in good shape. And then I was able to talk Dave Freeman, who I thought was going to show up here, but I don't think he did. Talk him, he owns AMS Digital Printing here in town. And he took one look at this project and got excited about it. So I introduced him to Jim Williamson, and the two of them got excited about it. So now there was three of us involved, and that was perfect. So we're at the stage now where we've actually done a proof of what it's going to look like. And there will be a proof of that. It will be, they will be available to anybody that wants to buy one. And what it is, it's a proof of the whole table, but it's only like a foot and a half, maybe 3 feet long. And I don't know, maybe 12 inches deep. But what's on that table, there are 157 names of fishermen who were fishing in out of Blaine at that time. On that table. So every time we sat at that table, when it was at the Harbor Cafe, I could see my name, my name and my boat name, and everybody else that fished could see their boats on there. And I can tell you, and Charlie can, he can verify this, we caught a lot more fish around that table than we ever caught out in the bay. It is a huge part of history for the fishermen in this town. And really, that's what we're about as far as the committee goes. And really, this award, you know, I understand why I'm receiving it, but they had something to do with that, too. And they, we have a seven-person committee, and everybody participates. And so they all got a little piece of this, too. And so, the annual 35th Annual Fisherman's Memorial will be on the 5th of May at 1:30 on Sunday. And if you haven't been there, I would encourage you to go. It's a very moving event and very important to the history of this community. And thank you for this. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gary. All right, moving on to the fire chief's report. How many more of these are we going to get from you? Can you reveal?
Three more. This Three one more. And then the two next month.
All right.
Next month I'll have the new fire marshal with me, and his name is Herschel Rostov. So I'll be bringing him for the first one in May. We'll be there together for those two meetings, and then he'll have it all by himself.
All right, great.
Good evening, council.
Good evening.
I'm going to share with you our chief's report, or our monthly report from our commissioner meeting last Thursday. The big thing I'll just point out is the new software is working great. It's collecting way too much data. Now we got to figure out how to condense it all and get it into a readable report. So all those numbers and percentages, they're all exactly right. I don't know what they mean. But the data is there, right? So we're gonna massage that over the next month and get that a little more presentable.
Boy.
The only other thing I'd like to share with you is we did have a structure fire in the city the week before Saturday up on Harbor Court. Dryer fire. The crews were great. They got in there. They got it knocked down right away. But unfortunately, the smoke damage in the house was all the way down to the floor in all the rooms. So that was in the city limits. So I just point that out too. And other than that, I'll let you peruse this at your leisure.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, moving on to written communications, Mr. City Clerk.
We have an email dated April 9th, 2019 from Dan Briggs regarding Extinction Rebellion. Email dated April 11th, 2019 from Rick Beauregard regarding information requested at the April 8th City Council meeting. Email dated April 11th, 2019 from Alex Berkman regarding Rick Beauregard's email. Email dated April 12th, 2019 from Mayor Morgan regarding 665 Eastboro Drive demolition. And an email dated April 17th, 2019 from Dennis Olson regarding City Council conduct. Regarding that last email, staff did respond and the printout of that response was placed on the dais.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Okay, on the consent agenda, we've got voucher memo and approval of bills in the amount of $134,045.77 and approval of the April 8th City Council minutes. Would someone like to make a motion to approve?
Second.
Moved by Councilor Hawkins and by Councilor Lawrenson to approve. Any comments, questions? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, the only action item we have before us is Ordinance 19-2924A, amending Ordinance 19-2924, establishing a new Chapter 3.81 to the Blaine Municipal Code to establish a business and occupation tax. And our finance director will give an explanation of this.
Very brief report here. So after the first B&O tax ordinance or the code was passed, a number of minor Scrivener's errors or clerical errors were discovered in the code. And so those were forwarded on to the city attorney's office, which they made those corrections. And that's what you have before you. So the corrections consist of removing redundant verbiage. There's fixing some reference or citation numbering and removing or replacing words that didn't fit the language, the context of the language, such as I believe there's a word marking when it should state making in certain definitions, but there's no change to the substance of the code. It's just minor clerical errors.
Okay. Would someone like to move to waive the second reading and adopt Ordinance 19-2924A, correcting Chapter 3.81 of the Blaine Municipal Code? And
so moved.
Second.
Been moved by Councilor Davidson, second by Councilor Stewart. Are there any questions, Council, or comments? Okay, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next we have Commission, Committee, and Board reports. Mr. Lawrenson.
No report.
And Ms. Rule?
No report.
Mr. Hawkins?
I was supposed to go to the meeting for the BMAC in Bellingham, but I had to celebrate, or I didn't have to, but I did celebrate my granddaughter's birthday instead. It was more fun.
Okay. Councilor Stewart?
No report.
Library or Senior Center? Councilor Davidson?
The WTA is in the next few months going to get six, going to get four electric buses that we've been, they've been working on this for close to a year now. And 85% of those electric buses are going to be paid for by the federal government. So the cost of the city is approximately $150,000 per bus, mm-hmm, versus $500,000 for a standard bus. And it's we're getting four of them, which is kind of neat because only 40 throughout the United States have been given out under this. So the WTA here in Whatcom County got 10% of the total. So just kind of a shout out for WTA on all their work putting that together.
Mm-hmm. Those are fully electric. They're not hybrids.
Yeah, fully electric, yeah.
That'll be really interesting to see how they work out.
Absolutely.
Okay. Next, Public Works Advisory Committee. Did you have a meeting? Or? No. Okay. I don't have a report for Whatcom Council of Governments. At the small cities meeting, we didn't really have a meeting per se. We actually got a tour of the Linden Door Company, which was really quite interesting. They did a PowerPoint, kind of giving us a history of their company, and which started, I think, in Canada in the 40s. And they've just grown. They had a real dip during the recession, of course, because residential They only make indoor doors, commercial and residential, so they really had to weather that period of time for 2 or 3 years, but they've come back really strong. And then we got to tour and see how their doors are made, hollow core, solid core, and custom doors. They kind of do it all as far as indoor doors. And they have a really neat nonprofit set up where they affiliate with the schools and have high schoolers, I'm not sure what grade, maybe it's all of high school, I'm not sure, to come in if they want to and learn the trade, basically. Learn carpentry, pretty much. Learn how to use a saw and a tape measure and all that good stuff. And they make projects. And it's just a really neat nonprofit. They've devoted a whole big building, bigger than this room, probably twice as big as this room, with all this equipment that's been donated and different people coming in to mentor them and teach them. So it was really quite impressive. And they're going to be expanding and hiring about 100 new people in the next 2-3 years. So it's a period of growth for them. Okay, department reports. Public Works.
While Sam's doing that, I'll cover some of the other items that I had. So first let you know that since we had such a great response to the community with the 8th grade classes at Cane Creek, they're actually out in the area again. I think they were out today. It looked like there was some fresh work in tomorrow morning. And there's a community work party that is planned for the 4th of May, and that information is on a news flash on the website. Wanted to give you an update on the work that we're doing in the well field. So back in December, we did a contract that looked at two of the wells. We were able to make some adjustments, clean screens, test the pump, videotape the entire casing, all of that. And we are incorporating that work now into two other wells, which well 3R should be finished this week, and then they'll start on 1R. Those are our two deep wells in the well field other than 5.1. We're already seeing improvements, even with a temporary pump scenario in one of them, that we feel is going to have a huge difference with how our wells perform this summer. And our intention is to finish all the rehabilitation that we're working on with these wells and have that all in place before summer. I'll tell you, the MRSC roster has been priceless in helping us to do this contracting in a very expeditious fashion. And so it is for that reason I have not yet brought to you a study session that kind of talks about all that we did and all that we're doing and what the results are, because the process is just taking a while. The well driller can be on site. Sometimes it seems like, you know, one well for a month, and I know it's not that long. There's lead time on either end, but it feels that way sometimes. We have completed our tank cleaning for the year. So if your kids want a cool job, diving into reservoirs, to me, sounds like one of those things that if I were a kid would be a really cool. I couldn't believe it when they pulled up in front of our office, and I swear the two young men did not look like they were out of high school yet, and they're getting ready to go up the hill. We have done a request for qualification and done interviews and made a selection for our SCADA consultant. That's the wireless communication that allows us to communicate with the well field and with our lift stations and other infrastructure. So we'll be working over the next little while getting that company under contract. He's actually the same firm that's been doing the work for Lighthouse Point for the last 4 years. But now he'll be doing all of the city system. Issued to the on-call roster for groundskeeping, and we received one bid, and it was clean cut care, so they will be doing our landscaping again, and we're working on the contracting process for that. So that won't be coming to you because it was under $100,000, but I just wanted to let you know about that. We also have two new crew chiefs, so I'm very happy to report that we have promoted both Steve Rutford and Pat Freeman as our two new crew chiefs. Pat will be doing facilities, parks, and street, and Steve will be doing all the utilities. So for right now, they're kind of getting that footing under them, and I think they actually have been for some time. I don't anticipate we're going to see like crazy changes, other than you might see Pat involved in a little bit more, you might see Steve involved in a little bit more, but they still both have leads working with them until those folks retire. So I think this is just exactly what we wanted in the next step of succession planning at Public Works. And I wanted to thank you so much for your support of it. Then some project updates. Hughes Avenue, as you probably can tell by the press releases and the amount of machinery on site, they have been working away. Most of the work over the last couple of weeks has been with the widening that is going on the north side. So it's kind of cool if you are able to either look at it from the freeway if you're not driving, or if you want to approach it when they're not working, you can actually see the fill starting to come up along Mr. Connolly's frontage. And so that's where the new sidewalk is going to be. The rest of the work has mostly been in the water system. So we wanted to get the water main replaced with a new water line so that we don't need to dig up the new street. Imagine that. And that has been very challenging. What we're finding is a lot of the information we have on our old maps is in fact old. There's missing information, or we thought something was disconnected. It turns out to be live. So we've had a few challenges, but I think we are mostly through the worst of it. And the Public Works crew has been absolutely phenomenal in assisting the contractor. Your support of our the Vactor truck that we leased a couple of years ago, that truck's paid for itself in change order management, I'll tell you. Just, you know, you can have a contractor just, you know, hand shoveling to try to be careful around an existing utility, and it could take hours, whereas that Vactor can suck that dirt up in a matter of minutes. So it is very, very rewarding to see. And if you don't mind, I'm gonna just quickly show you some pictures. Of some of our other projects. So for those of you that were out of town or didn't want to join the mob located on the sidewalk, this is 665 Peace Portal, our pre-deconstruction look. You can see they're just starting to fence things off and chip away at some of that veneer on site. Here they're mobilizing their crane to the bottom of the site. Here's where you can see they're actually chipping away at this veneer to see what's under it. I'd say the first couple of days were really kind of exploratory on their part, making sure things work, and then they started the wrecking ball. And so this is about when I remember the crowd on site on day one. This is from the back on that same day. You can see they really didn't find a whole lot of trouble knocking down that concrete with that wrecking ball. This is getting now into day three. They actually had an excavator on site that was part of the demolition, but they also used one to have men that could be spraying down. So the entirety of this building is being treated as hazardous waste because the asbestos with the open roof because of the fire was just inherent throughout the building. So they're wetting down the building and taking it all down. Here you can see the operator inside the bucket or the basket that's spraying water on the hill, the caution tape. I
I think I got something a little further down that shows, so this little car that they're putting all this into, they lined with plastic before they put anything in it because it's going to be shipped to a hazardous waste landfill. And this is before the end of last week, so got really, really close. And this is what it looks like today. So here's a pile of debris they haven't hauled away yet. You can see that we're pretty much almost right on top of the other building, and I'm sure the rest of the work is going to be done ever so much even more carefully than the rest of the work. And then just briefly to give you a feel for the plaza, so if you recall, this was all pavers before, some of which were personalized, some of which weren't. This is Pacific Arts fundraiser. Those bricks that have the personalized paving, you know, imprints on them have been stacked safely to the side. And behind this orange fencing is some rebar sticking up where we're going to have a sitting wall that will be made out of those bricks. So that history is still retained on site. So there'll be two 20-foot sections separated by about 6 feet in between at this south end of the plaza and then in the middle as well. And then this side where the new building has gone in, where the sidewalk cafe is going, we actually set the wall back a little bit. So that there's not going to be a crammed area where people are coming in and out of the dining area. And it also leaves one location, if need be, for there to be a small truck to get up on the plaza, although we're going to discourage that as much as possible.
Isn't that part of the problem we had because people are driving up in there with those bricks and stuff?
I would say that it didn't help, but I think a lot of it is just the nature. The sidewalk, and I might even be able to show you from one of these pictures. Okay, you see this here? So it's like a tunnel under there. I don't know if you can see where my cursor is. So this part of the sidewalk, there's a cavity underneath, and so the pavers, when they were put in, I don't think took into account that. Then you have the vibration, and then you have the rain, and anyway, we started seeing a lot of heaving and turning and buckling and settlement, and the crew's been great about, you know, putting cold mix in to keep it so that we don't have terrible trip hazards, but it's been very unsightly, and for that reason, we really wanted to get this project done in advance of the opening of the new building. So it was a great, I'd say probably the hardest decision I had to make besides where to put the wall was what color to make this stamped concrete here, and recognizing we were never going to be able to match the plaza, we didn't want it to look like the sidewalk. We went with this kind of grayish black color, and I think it looks really good between the pavement and the new sidewalk. So, any questions? Thank you very much.
I have just a short question. See, where they're gonna take the rest of the wall next to the flower shop,
mm-hmm.
You know, they have more to take down. Is that gonna be finished off, or is it gonna just be, you know?
That is a really good question, and I'll need to get back to you on that, unless you know when Tim did that.
I do. I'm fairly certain, my memory is correct, the owner of the building that has the flower shop in it is responsible for finishing the exterior wall, because it's their wall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of assume, but okay.
So it'll be torn down to their wall, and then they have that.
So that was an agreement in writing? They do fully understand?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. It was part of the enforcement action that Tim Woodard managed, so I have to say I'm not as familiar with that aspect of the project. We're not there yet. You know, there's still stuff protruding here, some cabinets and things like that. This overhang is not completely off yet, so they have a little bit yet to go. but she's actually been pretty cooperative through this process. I'm sure it was not an easy one for her.
I bet. Just to be there while they were knocking that down probably shook the ground a bit.
Other than to ask if they were going to stop using the wrecking ball, I think her concerns were put at ease.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Raven. Okay, next, Community Development Services.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council Members. Thank you for having me, as always. This week, we have issued a design review, commercial design review approval for a new mixed-use two-story building that's going in on the corner of 3rd and H Streets, known as the Lehman Learning Center. So we'll be excited to see that get underway in downtown. We're also going to be approving a short plat this week and some additional multifamily development adjacent to Cedar Street. So 12 new units, 4 units in each of the multifamily developments. So it continues to be a busy time, as you can also tell from Raven, Raven presenting for the city. For our building department especially, that means lots of calls for inspections as these projects get going. So it is the city's policy to respond to an inspection request within 24 hours of receiving the request. But a lot of times we can be even more nimble in that and more flexible. So I just want to give a general statement for listening members of the public that we're here to help, we're here to serve, and feel free to call me or speak to the building official and we'll get that inspection underway. Thank you.
Thank you. And we've got a records management system update for the police department.
Good evening, Council Mayor. So as you may know, we've been migrating over to Wacom Dispatch, and part of that migration process is to update our records management system. When I first started in 92, we were under a LEMS program. It's a DOS-based program. If you made a mistake, you had to start all over again. So in about 1995, 96, we moved over to Justice System, our current report writing system. And it's not been updated in, well, since it's been installed, really. There's been a few bug fixes and that sort of thing. So to fully migrate over to Wacom Dispatch, we're transitioning to what they call Long Arm. It's run by the Bellingham Police Department, and a number of agencies contribute data to that. So whereas our justice system, we run a records query, Dispatch does not have that information available to them. So we hired in the last few months a company called CompuWork. They've been used, they're a Canadian-based company. They migrated all of our data from Justice over to Long Arm. That was completed about 2 weeks ago. We've had some of our administrative staff attend training on that. And this Wednesday at 12 p.m., several of our officers and supervisors will be attending to train the trainer with the Bellingham PD staff. So we can come back and we hope to go live on May 1. So what does that mean for Blaine PD? It's a more robust and user-friendly interface. When somebody calls dispatch, they collect all the data on the individuals. They pull that from existing databases and they enter that into Long Arm. So when we go to do our reports, most all of those contact information is already in there, so we would just need to complete any evidence, photographs, upload, probable cause statements, that sort of thing, into Long Arm. So it's a real time saver for us. I've kind of played around with it a little bit, and I'm very impressed with how quick things move through the process. There's hotkeys that you can use. When you go to do your reports, all the contact information is automatically populated, so you have to type in all the information again. We just need to make sure that we type it in correctly in the first place, otherwise we have to go back and fix those errors. Part of the other thing with going to Long Arm, nationally, each police agency has to report on certain criminal incidents. through a system called NIBRS. It's a National Incident-Based Reporting System. And this is something that is reported to the FBI for statistical purposes. Some of those things include rape, robbery, manslaughter, arson, burglary, and larceny theft. Also tracks age and sex of the violators for each count of offense. In justice, it was very cumbersome and time-consuming. It was a 3 or 4 month project throughout the year because we had to go into the back end of that program to extract the data. And we also had to go in to make sure that the information that was put in the report is accurate for each person that was listed in the report. LongArm is able to do this automatically and almost seamlessly. So at the end of the year, we hit a couple of buttons, it automatically populates the information into our report, and we can send that off to the FBI. That's pretty much all I have at the moment. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant King. All right, City Clerk, City website update.
Yeah, hello again, Council. So I want to give a brief update on our city website. We are very excited to announce that it will go live on April 25th, which is this upcoming Thursday. I hope you notice a huge improvement over our last website. It looks great. And of course, there might be some little bits, pieces of errors, like some broken links here and there. We did our best to clean it up, and Civic Plus did as well. However, with anything that's new and encompassing as a website, there are little mistakes that are probably just gonna pop up. If you do find any, we're gonna have a website or an email address available so you can quickly send one. It'll probably be like webmaster@cityofblaine.com, but we'll inform council what it's gonna be. So instead of calling myself or Jason up asking, can you please fix this, just shoot off an email and we can log it into the help desk system and we can get to it accordingly. So if there are any questions, I'm more than happy to ask or answer them.
How are we getting the word out on the new website to the public?
We will likely do a, almost said announce on our website, but it will be announced on our website through Newsflash, which will go through our subscriber list on Newsflash, which will go to about 100 or so people. We'll also announce it on Twitter and Facebook, and we might do a quick little press release of that nature, me and the Northern Light. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you. City Manager.
A couple of quick items, and then you should be out of here. I told some of you you'll be done by 7 tonight, and I think we will make it.
You can do it. Yeah.
First of all, I wanted to let you know that the city received an invitation to the Guru Nanak Gursikh Temple in Linden to celebrate Sikh Day. And there is a thank you for recognizing April as Sikh Awareness Month or Sikh Appreciation Month. And that is on Saturday, April 27th at 1 p.m. I have a whole lot more information about it here if anyone is interested. I'm not able to attend because I'm out of town that day, but if anyone is available and interested, please see me and I'll get you the information. Or actually, I'll pass it on to Sam and you can contact Sam and he'll give you a copy of this invitation with all the details. The reason I'm not available is I'm going to be on vacation from this Saturday to next Saturday, so I'll be out of town and generally unavailable camping. Jeff will be the acting city manager during my absence. And I did want to give you an update on police chief hiring. We do have 3 finalist candidates. We're looking at interviews on May 9th. We would be seeking a total of 4 council members who are interested in participating in that. It is almost a full day event, so bear that in mind. 8:30 in the morning until probably 2:30 in the afternoon, maybe a little bit later depending upon how the debriefing goes. So if that's something that you're interested in, please let me know this week. And our finalists are all from out of state, as is often the case in this kind of hiring process. They are a current chief from Talent, Oregon. His name is Tim Donnie, director of public safety and chief of police for Portland State University, Danelle Tanksley, and the Assistant VP of Public Safety, which is effectively the police chief for the University of San Diego, James Miyashiro. And those gentlemen will be our finalists on May 9th. So again, if you have an interest in participating in that, or if you have some questions about the candidates, feel free to contact me anytime this week. As I mentioned, I'll be out of town next week. And regarding the Sikh invitation to the celebration at their temple, please see Sam if you want some more information on that. Any questions for me?
Have we made a decision about any other further action other than the interviews, or will the decision be final after those interviews?
I expect the decision will be final after those interviews, except, well, I shouldn't say, there's more to it than that, because actually there's a background check, polygraph, and a very detailed investigation of their background that's conducted by an investigator. So there is that component, but we're going to have two panel interviews and an interview with myself. There'll be a luncheon reception that all council members are welcome to attend. The police department will be invited to that as well, and the candidates will be there. A little brief public speaking, some opportunity for people to provide me some comment after that. And then we are looking at having the three candidates tour the city with an officer the evening before, and the officers will be invited to provide me feedback. We're looking at some other feedback opportunities as well. I'm not opting not to do a public forum for the hiring.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Anything else for me? Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Well, we got some calendar dates to take note of. There's no executive session this evening. Is there any unfinished business from council or any new business from council?
Yeah, I've got one thing.
Okay.
During hunting season, I talked about getting the county to put a full ban on hunting in Drayton Harbor. I think you need to start the process of doing this now, instead of waiting till hunting season starts, to go to the county and try and get this. Now, I think there's three of people that are in favor of this, including because of all the noise and disruption of normal lives, because of the guys sitting right on the edge of the boundary out off the mouth of Dakota Creek, and it's just like a war zone going off out there on Saturday mornings and stuff. Anyway, and I think we should try and do this. If I get enough people in the council to do this, I want to make it something that we can do before hunting season starts again. And the SRA's been
in favor of it. Mr. City Manager?
I would just say that would be definitely be something that we want to agendize for the city council taking action to that effect. And I guess I would ask if there are three people council that are supportive of that, then we can add it to a future agenda. We'll look at what that action item looks like. Okay. Probably a
resolution.
We'll look at what that action item looks like. I'm not exactly sure how we can communicate that.
We need to start doing it now, because it's got to go through the process in the county.
Right.
I'd support putting that on the agenda.
I'd support that as well.
I would support that as well.
Just about everybody supports that.
I think it probably even passed over time.
Okay.
I also live on the harbor, and there's been a petition circulating in my neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we'll try to get that on next meeting's agenda.
An upcoming meeting, and the next or the one after.
Okay. All right. Okay. So if there's nothing else, then meeting is adjourned at 5 to 7.
I wish I could sit.
Yes, it's 7 o'clock.
Oh,